This morning, I would like to share with you on the topic of faith. To a Christian, faith is very important. Without faith, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, we cannot please God. All those that come to God must believe that God is. God is always in the present. God never was. God never will be. He always is. He's a rewarder to them that faithfully seek Him. If we seek God faithfully in faith, He promised us that we will be rewarded. But do we have a habit of seeking God daily, momentarily? Or do we seek God only when trouble comes? There are many people who call themselves Christians. They don't thank God in good times, but when they are facing troubles, they come to God and say, God help me. So they are not really taking God as God, but God as a crutch where they can lean on Him in times of trouble. In good time, they forget God. Oh, this is all due to myself. My ability is not God. They are unthankful in a way. So we need to have this faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Which means, faith is a confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. If we can see, we don't need faith. If we can see the job that we are doing, why do we need faith to pray for the job? We already have the job. If we have food to eat, you don't need faith to ask God for that food. Unlike George Mueller, he had no food to feed his orphans. And yet he prayed and said, thank you God for the food that you have laid before us. And the next moment, food was delivered. He didn't know where the food was going to come from. He was a man of faith and a man of prayer. He believed in a God who promises in His word that He would do it if we have faith enough to trust Him. So when we come to God, do we trust Him that He will hear our prayers, that He will help us and so on? Jesus in Luke 18:8 said this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on earth? That was more than 2,000 years ago. Jesus wasn't even sure when He returns the second time, would there be people on earth who prayed believingly that He will hear their prayers and answer their prayers? Would He find faith on earth at that time? We don't know when He will return. It will be soon. We see the signs around us. Okay? Storm clouds are gathering. There are earthquakes, there are hunger, there are famines, there are hatreds, there are wars and so on. He is coming back soon. Are we prepared? Do we have faith to meet Him? Will we rejoice at His coming or will we be fearful? Paul tells young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1, people shall depart from the faith. We know that many so-called Christians who once worshipped, maybe together with us, maybe they have dropped off, they have gone back, like Demas, forsaken Paul in the ministry, went back into the world because he saw the world so attractive. Sometimes many people think that being a Christian is really tough. Actually, being a child of God is really a joyful experience. I don't know. Because the Bible tells us that in the presence of God is fullness of joy. Do we find joy when we come into God's presence? Or do we find it a drudgery? That's the reason maybe why people don't pray. They find it difficult to talk to God. Actually, it is very easy to talk to God. You just think of Him as your friend, your very good friend. You just open your heart to Him and tell Him your problems, your aspirations, your desires and everything. He loves to hear you. That's why Jesus says to His disciple, "Hitherto have you asked nothing. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full." Full joy. Have you experienced this kind of full joy before? Joy that lasts, you know. It's not momentary. Sometimes you are very happy for a short moment of time. But the joy that God gives is a lasting joy. In spite of difficult circumstances in your life, you can have this joy in you. You can be smiling when everybody feels so grumpy, so downhearted, so disappointed with life, so frustrated. You can put on a smiling face. You can be joyful because it comes from God. Joy means Jesus, others, you. You put Jesus first, you put others, and you put you. There's no I in joy. When you think about yourself too much, you will never have joy. You have to think of Jesus, you have to think of others, and you have to think of the next person, you. You will have joy. Full joy. Intense joy. And in order to have all this, you need faith. You need to believe that God can give you joy. I was reading something about George Mueller. He says that people sometimes say, "I wish I had the faith of George Mueller." George Mueller said, it is actually very simple. All you have to do is trust God. Believe God. Believe what He says in His word, and just go to Him and tell Him, "God, this is what You promised me. I believed." And you will receive your answers. That is what He said. And He lived this kind of life of faith throughout His ministry. He has so many orphans under His care. He needs feeding them, housing them, clothing them, and so on. And he just go to God. He didn't apply for charity aids, you know. He didn't go to big organizations and say, "Can you help me?" He didn't ask for crowdfunding, which is quite common, right? If you need help, you can go to this crowdfunding and they can help you. But not George Mueller. He went to God. He said, "You are my supplier. You will undertake everything I put to you because you are God. You are the all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient God. Nothing is impossible with you." And God proved Himself to George Mueller. And God can prove Himself to us if we have this kind of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't see. One day faith will be sight when we get to heaven. Hope will become a reality. But while on earth, we need faith. And where does faith come from? Faith comes from God and His Word. Romans 12:3 tells us that God allotted each one of us the measure of faith. When the blind man came to Jesus and begged Jesus to heal him, to give him back his sight, Jesus said, "According to your faith." And he was healed. He believed that Jesus could heal him. And he was healed. When you come to God and ask him for help, do you really believe that he can help you? Sometimes it's so difficult to believe, right? Can God really help me with this problem? Can God really answer my prayer? If you say, yes, I believe. And then like Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of God. Don't have to do anything, just stand still. God says, be still. You know, Jesus makes a lot of commands about faith. There are so many examples in the Bible. I just want to give you a few. The surprising thing is that when he said to his disciples in a boat, when they were crossing the sea, there was a storm, he was sleeping, and the water was getting into the boat, and they went to Jesus and said, Master, carest not thou that we perish? They were in the boat with Jesus, and they think they were going to die, together with the Lord maybe. And Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the storm, and there was a calm. And you know what he told them? Why are ye fearful, O ye of no faith? You see, when you have fear, you will never have faith, because fear and faith cannot exist together. If you are fearful, you are faithless. If you are full of faith, there will be no fear, because you trust God. Sometimes we sing when we were kids in the Sunday school, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Right? We all love to sing this. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. But when you are really in a boat, when the waves are really rolling, I don't think you can sing, you know. I don't know. When I went to New Zealand for a holiday, there was a place called a hole in a rock that was out in the sea, quite a distance away. And we all got into the boat and sailed towards this place. And in the midst of it, there was a storm. And I was clinging to the pole for my dear life, you know. I forgot that song, with Christ in the vessel, we could smile at the storm. All I would say, Lord, please don't let the boat sink. I can't swim. That was all I said. Where's the faith that God will take care of you? The disciples, they were fishermen, some of them, and they were really good swimmers, and yet they were so fearful. And Jesus said, why do you doubt? Then one time, when Jesus was walking on the sea, Peter said, if that is you, let me come to you. Jesus said, come. He got out of the boat, he walked to Jesus. Peter was the only man that ever walked on water besides the Lord in a human form. And he looked at Jesus and he walked towards Jesus. But then he took away his focus from Jesus and he looked at the wind, the storm, and he was fearful. And he sank. And he prayed, Lord, save me. And Jesus took him up and said, why do you doubt? Why do you have little faith? Okay. You could have walked. He walked on water actually towards Jesus. He walked. He literally walked. And when he was near Jesus, he didn't look at Jesus. He looked at his surroundings. You see, sometimes circumstances can distract us from the presence of God. Sometimes, when we turn our focus away from God, away from Jesus, then we are looking at trouble. Then we are looking at ourselves sinking in the sea of doubt, of hopelessness, of no help. Jesus said, why do you doubt? ye of little faith, why are you fearful? When you are fearful, come to God. He will take away your fear. He will give you the peace. Interestingly, Jesus always said peace. The first word he greets his disciples was peace. We all need peace. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is to remain calm in spite of all the difficult situations around you. You don't worry. You're not agitated. You don't feel anxious. You are at peace. And when Jesus spoke about the Gentiles, those who are not Jews, he commended them great faith. The centurion who had a servant who was afflicted with palsy came to Jesus and begged him to save him. And Jesus said, I will go. And this centurion said, no need to come into my house. I'm not worthy to receive you into my house. Just say the word and he will be healed. I believe you're capable of it. Without even seeing that servant of mine. And you know what Jesus replied? He said, I have never seen such great faith in Israel. No. He was a Gentile. The Jews knew that Messiah was coming. And when Jesus came into their midst, they were blinded. They couldn't see him. They saw the miracles he did. They saw what kind of work he was doing. He saw what kind of man Jesus was. They knew all about this Messiah in the Bible, in the Torah. And yet when Jesus came, they couldn't see him. They couldn't recognize him. Remember, he was in their midst and they wanted to capture him. He just moved in amongst them and they couldn't find him. They knew that the Messiah was coming. And Jesus told them when he took the book of Isaiah and read it, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord has sent me to preach the gospel. He came. He preached the good news to them. They heard, but they didn't learn anything. You can hear, but you don't understand. So they heard what he said, but they couldn't understand him. They said, isn't this the son of a carpenter? His brothers, his sisters, they're all with us. How can he be the Messiah? That's blasphemy, the chief priest says. They say all the bad things about him. Never say he's the Messiah. And yet there are people who believe him. Remember the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years? She said, if I could only touch the hem of his clothes, I will be healed. She knew the power of God, even in his clothing. And she did. She went to touch, and she was healed. And Jesus said, who touched me? And Peter said, you know, you're surrounded by crowds. People throng you. Of course, somebody would have touched you. Say, no, somebody touched me. I felt my power, my virtue went out from me. And then this woman, she was so frightened, she came. And she said, I did. Then she told Jesus why she did it. And Jesus says, go in peace. Thy faith has made thee whole. She believed. That's faith. Believe in a person. Not a thing. Not a religious organization. She believed in Jesus. And all things connected to Jesus. And she was healed. That's the Lord. He always loved people who have faith and trust in him. So how do we get faith? The Bible tells us God gave us faith, Romans 12:3. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, not hearing the word of man. No. I can't give you faith. You can hear me talking about faith, but I cannot give you faith. Only God can. And when you hear the word of God and you understand the word of God and you live out the word of God, you have faith. It's that simple. Okay? You don't have to beg God for faith. You don't have to ask God. You cannot pray for faith. You cannot wish for faith to come into your life. You have to believe in a person. The object of our faith is God. 1 Peter 1:21. Your faith and hope must be in God, in a person. Jesus himself said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Only God and Jesus can give us that faith. And faith is just believing in who and what he says. That means in the Bible. There are so many promises in the Bible. When you come to a promise, claim it and tell God, this is what you promised me. I believe you will fulfill it. And he will. If you believe him. It's not half-hearted belief, it's wholeheartedness. You have to believe God with your whole heart. Not even a little doubt. If you had that little doubt would destroy your faith. It will not be perfect faith. You need to have full faith. Faith is from God and is of God, and faith in Christ will see us through our life. And what kind of faith do we have? The Bible mentions four kinds of faith. First, dead faith. James 2 verse 17 and 20. Faith without works is dead. You must prove your faith with works. If you don't have good work to go with your faith is dead. Some people say, I believe God. But they don't worship God. They don't come to the house. They don't talk to God. They don't talk about God. Never in their life did they mention God once. How can they have faith? There's no work to prove it. So work, faith without work is dead. That's dead faith. Then there's demonic faith. James 2:19. The devils also believe in God, but they don't submit to God. They don't trust God. The devils are actually the demons. They were angels. Lucifer became so proud of himself because of his beauty. He said, I want to be like God. I want to sit on the throne. I want to be worshipped and so on. And God threw him down to earth and he became the devil. And all the fallen angels became the demons. And Satan took one third of the angels with him. One third. We don't know how many angels there were. The Bible did not tell us how many angels God created. Innumerable. So many that we cannot count. And Satan took one third of them with him, you know. Imagine. And they know God because they were created by God. Angels are created beings. God created everything. But they don't submit to God. Demonic faith. Do you believe in God but don't submit to him? Don't talk about him. Don't tell people about him. Have nothing to do with him. That's demonic faith. And then there's vain faith. Vain faith is just head knowledge of God, of the Bible, of Jesus. Nothing touches the heart. The heart is still hardened. It's still deceitful above all things. Even when you become a Christian, the heart is still deceitful. You know that? That's why we need to pray for a cleansed heart every day. No one can see the heart except God. God said to Samuel, when God told Samuel to choose the next king, he saw Eliab, tall, handsome, well-built, rugged. This must be the next king. God said, no. Man looketh on the outside, but I searches the heart. This man is not king material, because his heart is not right to God. David's heart was, but he was a young boy. All the sons passed through Samuel, and God said, no, 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 no. These are not the next king. And Samuel asked Jesse, the father, do you have yet another son? He said, yes, but he's a shepherd boy. He's just a boy. He said, never mind, call him. And when David came, God said, arise, anoint. This is the king. You see, God knows. God sees. God understands. So, demonic. Vain faith. Vain faith is just head knowledge. If you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your faith is vain. That's what the Bible says. If you don't believe that Jesus died for your sins, buried, rose again, then your faith is vain faith. And then last of all, you have the saving faith. Saving faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We are saved by grace, through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saving faith comes from God. Interestingly, verse Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 talks about saving by grace. Immediately after that, verse 10, Paul says, we are the workmanship of Jesus Christ to do good works. You know, when you're saved, you have to do good works, you know. It's not that when you're saved, you do nothing. No. You just believe, just come to church, don't care about what goes on around you, you know. Have no feelings about others. That's not what God says. When you are saved, you are sent out to save others. A Christian is a beggar who looks for other beggars to come to seek bread. And Jesus is the bread of life. That's what we are. So how to increase our faith? You have to read the Word of God. And understand the Word of God and hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You have to heed the Word of God. Pay careful attention. Understand it and do it. James 1:22-24. Don't just be a hearer only, but be a doer of the Word. Put God's Word into practice. Live out the message that you hear every Lord's Day. Test the Word. Test the Word doesn't mean that you have to test God. No. To prove God. God says in Malachi, you know, He told the people, prove me now and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing until you cannot contain it. If you bring your tithes and your offerings into my house, I will bless you abundantly. That's God. That's God. God says in the book of Proverbs, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. We know we don't have things, you know, and yet we can lend God things. And God says what? He will repay you. Because God doesn't want to be a debtor to anyone. Or we are a debtor to God for salvation. But God is not indebted to any one of us. You see a poor person, you help the poor person,
God will return you. That's God. He is full of love. He doesn't want you to suffer for His name's sake, in a sense. What you do for Him, He will bless you. So you need to act upon the word of God. So in conclusion, 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul tells us to examine whether we are in the faith, the true faith. What we think of God, what we read about God, do we believe it? Do we talk to people, assuring them that God is real, that God is true to His word, that He will bless His word to our heart, and help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord? Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by faith. We are justified because of Jesus' work on the cross. He died, He was buried, He rose again for our justification. We are safe. And when we come to God, God doesn't see us. He sees His sons upon us. He sees the righteousness of His Son upon us, the blood of His Son upon us, and God accepts us. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, God hears. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. That's what He told the disciples at the Mount of Transfiguration. Hear Him. So our faith must be in an object, a person. And that's why Hebrews says, 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look to man, no matter how good, how clever, how smart, how brilliant, how prominent he is. He's good, yes, he can help you. He can give you advice, but God gives you better advice. His words are far more better. Look to Jesus. When in doubt, look to Jesus, and your doubt will fly away. And may God bless His words to all our hearts, that we need the faith to please God. And we hear the word of God, we read the word of God, and understand the word of God, we have faith. And this faith is a living faith. And it can help us to do wonders in our life. We don't have to be sad forever. Yes, we feel sad sometimes at the loss of our loved ones. But we look for the comfort of God to comfort us. You are poor. God says, I'll supply all your needs. You don't have wisdom to study. God says, ask of me and I will give you wisdom. It's God. He loves to give us things. The only thing is that we do not really want to receive the things from God. That's a sad thing. How much better our life would be if we truly believe that God is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy precious word of faith. We thank Thee that faith cometh from Thee and from Thy word. Help us to love Your word, to love Thee, that our faith may increase, that our life will be happier, will be more fruitful for Thee. Bless Thy people in New Life London. Bless their heart. Make them to be a fruitful, productive Christians for Thy name's sake and for Jesus' sake. We thank Thee and ask all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.